Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Let's talk to our friend Sam Panionovich, formerly of WGN Radio and WGN Radio Sports. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. I'm sitting inside a sports book watching numbers move, looking at flashing lights. There's not much better. You know, I'm very happy where I'm at right now, but I'm actually inside a sports book right now. Go figure.
You really miss us, don't you, Sam?
I do miss you. Are you surprised I haven't asked you to wire me money yet, though?
Actually, well, I have every confidence in you to make wise and prudent decisions. In fact, that's what you do for a living now. Tell people what you do, Sam.
Yeah, so pretty much we crunch numbers, we talk about trends and stats, and we do analysis on pretty much everything that comes through Las Vegas as far as games go. I'm beefing up my NHL knowledge. I've got NBA on the horizon, too, but right now it's March Madness, so we're breaking down the brackets and looking at which teams have value on the futures market and, you know, breaking down our Thursday-Friday matchups. We've got spreads and odds, futures, and, you know, I'm pretty much the human calculator right now out here in Vegas.
And then you talk about this on your Sirius radio show, right?
Yeah, I'm actually on in 20 minutes. I'm doing a show called The Edge from 12 to 2 in Vegas. So, I mean, keep it locked into WGN. But, you know, if you get bored, you can always flip over to XM204. So, doing sports radio, talking about stuff that comes out of the sports book. And, man, it's fun out here.
I know you're busy then. You're getting ready for your show. I won't keep you long. But real quick, do you do things outside of sports? You know, there's action on all sorts of events, political, Hollywood, whatever. Do you do that or do you just do sports?
I tried to dip my toe into the Oscars, actually. There were odds for, you know, Best Picture and
right.
Supporting Actor and Actress and everything. I let Richard Roper deal with that stuff. I don't get into the Oscars and all that, but you could certainly bet money on that stuff, but I didn't actually see like half of those movies that were up for Best Picture, so I'll leave that to the experts.
What stands out with the 64 or 68 team field to you this year?
Well, I look at Virginia as a team, you know, the number one seed in the South region. You know, for years they've been sort of boggled down. They've had one game in the tournament where they've scored, you know, 54, 59. Last year they lost because they scored 39. I think this is finally the year that Virginia in the South region actually goes to the Final Four. They'd be the first one under Tony Bennett. They're one of the first teams that hops up the bracket there. I've got Virginia, Gonzaga, Purdue, and Kansas in my Final Four. But I think the question that everybody's asking out here in Vegas is, can Virginia actually do what people expect them to do? And I do think that this is the best offensive team they've had. So if you've got Virginia in your Final Four as you're listening right now, I think you're into something right there. I do like Virginia. I also look at the draw for West Virginia, and I think that is just flat-out brutal. I mean, the schedule that they have, they play Murray State in the first round. If they win that, then they get Wichita State. If they win that, oh, by the way, then you get Villanova. If you win that, maybe you get Purdue down the road. So I think West Virginia road is really, really tough for Bob Huggins and company. But my big question is, can Virginia go to the Final Four? And I think the answer to that question is yes.
Okay, so you like Virginia, Villanova, Kansas, and Purdue. Is that your Final Four?
Virginia, Gonzaga. You know I like Gonzaga. Virginia, Gonzaga, Purdue, and Kansas. Those are my four.
Purdue and Kansas. All right. And what do you got Loyola doing from Chicago?
I like Loyola, actually, to win that first game against Miami. That spread is really tight here in Vegas. I thought that it would be a little bit bigger, but Loyola is actually a two-point underdog against Miami because the Sharps out here in Vegas, they're not high on this Miami squad. So I think Loyola can win that game against Miami. Anything goes against Tennessee if Loyola hits their shots. This is a really good team, John. And I know they haven't been dancing in a long time.
Loyola.
I saw they were on the front page of the Tribune yesterday. Yeah, Loyola, really good team, upperclassmen, a lot of seniors and juniors. They're well-coached, big Porter Moser fan. I think Loyola wins against Miami. That'll be on March 15th in the opening round. And then I think they can go to the Sweet 16. They're one of my favorite mid-major teams in all the field.
Okay, so I'm writing down Loyola. I wrote down Gonzaga. By the way, do you have Virginia or who do you got winning the whole thing?
I've got Purdue, actually. Kudos to my uncle, the Cheech man. He's a big Purdue guy. I'm picking Purdue for him. I like Purdue. I think they're going to come out of the East. I think they're the best team in that region. Villanova-Purdue would be a great game in that conference, or in that region, I should say, I guess. But I've got Purdue taking down Gonzaga in the championship game.
Wow. Okay. And then what else? The Big Ten. Talk to me a little bit about that. How many games is the Big Ten going to win?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think Michigan beats Montana, but that's a tough matchup in round two against Houston. I like Michigan State to make a run. I think they're going to beat Duke in the Midwest region. I think Sparty goes to the Elite Eight before they run into Kansas, and Kansas has just too much firepower. Ohio State, I don't know. They might lose to the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. Isn't that a great name, the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State?
Yeah.
I think I just picked them because they're called the Jackrabbits, honestly. And then you've got, Purdue, who I think is going to win the whole damn thing. They've got 2 7-footers inside. They've got a bunch of senior guards that can shoot it. I do like Purdue to make a deep run. I think you have maybe, you know, two teams in the Big Ten and the Elite Eight, and then I've got a national champion coming out of the Big Ten. But remember, John, the Big Ten hasn't won a title since 2000, so it's been a while.
Yeah, I know that. I know all this stuff. All right, so you got Purdue winning the whole thing. Who's the 12 that you like, or the 13? Give me some of those Cinderella games that might happen for you.
Well, I like South Dakota State. I already told you that. Jackrabbits. I like them to beat Ohio State. Look at it, New Mexico State, too, against Clemson. That's a pretty nice line here in Vegas. So New Mexico State is the 12 over the 5 Clemson. I don't know about Murray State over West Virginia. I'm not really sure that Davidson could beat Kentucky. But Loyola, I mean, Loyola's an 11. That's a double-digit seed, I think, can go to the Sweet 16. I'm not just saying that because we're on in Chicago. I really like Loyola as an 11. I like South Dakota State as a 12. And I also think the New Mexico State is a really good team out of the WAC. They just beat Chicago State last week by like 30. I was at the game in Vegas. It was ugly. But I like New Mexico State as a 12, South Dakota State as a 12, and Loyola Chicago as an 11.
Tell me what you think of my Butler Bulldogs against Arkansas in the East.
I'm going to pick Butler. I may pick myself. I mean, you watch this team. You know, if Keelan Martin and Kamar Baldwin can be on the same page for one game, they can do some serious damage. But they're like Jekyll and Hyde. One plays well, one plays poorly. The next game, it's vice versa. I just think Martin, I mean, you watch a lot of Butler games, right? I mean, Martin, can he take any more 27-footers off balance, off 1 foot? I mean, he's so frustrating to watch, but he makes a lot of them from time to time. So, I don't know. I mean, I like Butler to beat Arkansas, but I think they're going to get smoked by Purdue in round two. But I would think that Butler does beat Arkansas. Butler's a small favorite here in Vegas. They're a one-point favorite right now at the South Point Hotel where I'm at. So I like Butler to win game one, but it's a tough hill in game two.
Butler played Purdue earlier this year and got spanked, but that's because we don't have two agile 7-foot-2-inch guys. That should be on. They should have, you know what they need to have? Like, you know how they have spending caps, salary caps in professional sports? They should have height caps for college teams. You can't have, that's like 15 feet of people, and it's just two guys.
Now, what would you say if Butler had those two guys?
I would love it. And, you know, here's the thing.
Right.
If I was 7'2" and could play at that level, I would go to a Butler or a team that's always nipping at the heels. I mean, what's the point of going to Duke? That's been done. Go to a Butler and actually go to DePaul, you know, go to Northwestern, go to Loyola and, like, make that program. That's what I would do.
How about Illinois? Don't leave Illinois off. You know, I'm an Illini guy.
No interest in Illinois. All right, Sam, listen, let's check in later this week maybe and see if the lines moved at all, or maybe you could pop in on our Saturday show after the first round. But if you're doing your brackets, Sam Panionovich in Vegas says Purdue, Kansas, Gonzaga, this is your Final Four, and Virginia with Purdue beating Gonzaga.
There's no time for any NIT questions at all. Is that what you're saying? You're out of time?
Hey, Sam, watch this.
Just wondering, Sam, about the Marquette-Harvard game coming up in the NIT.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been actually piled into the NCAA field for the big boys, Steve. But I think Marquette, the thing about Marquette is, though, here's the thing.
I heard it.
Seriously. Well, Illinois didn't make the dance either, so I'm just throwing daggers right now. The thing about Marquette, a team that I thought was going to make the tournament coming into the season, you got to watch out for a team like Marquette that goes into the NIT. I don't know that they're really all that in. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that they really care about the NIT. That's a tough matchup against Harvard. I don't need to tell you that they're really smart. They move the ball well. They guard well. They're going to try and slow it down. So if Marquette doesn't make their shots, they could be in trouble against Harvard. I do think they win that game. I think they should make a run. But when you miss the tournament and those are the expectations, it's always tough with teams like that that should be in the dance, that have the talent to be in the dance, but don't make it. Be careful, Steve. You might want to hold that hoodie a little bit tight.
I was just kidding around, mostly.
Sam found the right work for himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Panionovich, we'll talk to you later. I hope you're having a nice life. We miss you.
I'll miss you guys, too. See you later.
Sam Panionovich, he's a Southside fella. worked at this radio station for a couple cups of coffee, and now he's out in Las Vegas working with Brent Musburger and some other guys from the Tribune. They have this sports book radio network, and that's what he does now. He does numbers. I go, huh, those are pretty uniforms. I'll go with Missouri.
Did he say he doesn't have to tell us that the team from Harvard plays smart basketball?
I know, I could have done that. Well, Harvard, you know, that's a high IQ club. They move the ball around. They got real good basketball knowledge, those kids. Yeah, I think I could do that. Here's what I could do. I could do that, but it could be completely wrong. You know, the critics may go, as it turns out, this is the dumbest Harvard team in the history of basketball, and they're going to lose by 57 points. I don't know. I don't know. One last observation about the tournament, and that is this, that the difference between knowing a lot about these teams and not knowing a lot about these teams isn't great. Your chances, you know, I think, you know how like in the office pool, somebody named Lois who doesn't know generally does as well as the Sam Panionoviches of the world. I don't have an explanation for that. Everything Sam said seems to be credible and researched and, you know, nuanced. And then somebody goes, oh, I just like their uniforms. How is it that that person can be competitive? But that does seem to happen.
It's madness, baby. It's madness.
March madness. One last thing. Do you know if you just pick the odds-on favorites to win the games, right? That the 16 beats the 1 and that the 8 beats the 9 and just go out, just fill it out that way. I wonder statistically how well you do. What percentage of the games do you win? What percentage of the tournament pools would you win? I would imagine it would be very high.